Okay.
What we left off discussing on Tuesday was this question of incomplete tasks. So you hire the shliach to deliver a letter or something, and either he winds up finding the guy early, and so he doesn't have to travel, or his travel is disrupted and he's unable to deliver the letter. So the question was, is the shliach entitled to compensation? You'll recall this discussion really emerged, well, out of a sugya on Kuf Tes Zayin. You hire the guy to bring the medicine to the chola. Turns out the chola is healed. The shliach, the poel, is entitled to be paid because of its shliach shlichuse, right? He did his job. L'chora, his job was to bring the medicine, and so he's entitled to be compensated, even though, I guess, the mishaleach, the balabayis, didn't receive any benefit from the work. Things got a little complicated in how to understand the relationship of that principle to the principle that emerged from the Ramaz psak of the Mordechai, right, who he says, Shalach shliach imigeres v'nimtza misha nishlach elav v'chazar. You hire this shliach to deliver a letter. He finds the guy early. I gave the example. He's supposed to travel from Philly to the Five Towns, and he bumps into the guy in Philadelphia 30th Street Station. Here the Rama says, Ein l'shliach klum. The shliach doesn't get anything unless there's some reason to assign the loss to the Baal HaBayis based off the superior information idea. But here is kind of a weird psak, right? According to the Rama, it sounds, you hire the guy to deliver a letter. He ends up delivering the letter by finding the destination, the recipient early. He's not entitled to compensation. It's kind of strange. You might think, Hari avat shliach shlichuse. He did the job. The Baal HaBayis benefited. He's entitled to be paid. Now, I agree that there certainly is ambiguity in how we define the job, and this is what Gabe was pointing out last time. Is the job to go to the Five Towns to deliver it? Is the job to get the letter to the destination? I guess you might think it's very fact specific, but at least in the Shulchan Aruch's presentation, you have this tension between the chola case, where he's entitled to be paid, and this case of the shliach of the igeres, where if he finds the guy early, he's not entitled to be paid. Now, what's important for our purposes is the way this case gets discussed in the poskim. So the Sma takes issue with the Shulchan Aruch's psak. He thinks the Rama gets it wrong. He thinks that if you bump into the shliach in 30th Street Station, sorry, if the shliach bumps into the recipient at 30th Street, the shliach is entitled to be paid. And he says, here's the language of the Sma in Shin Lamed Hey Tes. Kivan da'al kol panim asa tachlis shlichuso. Since the shliach did, right, what he was supposed to do. De'hamivukash haya she'agiyach sav liyada v'harei higiyo. Lama lo yishalim schiros afilim yishalim. So the Sma actually thinks that in this letter delivery case, the poel is entitled to full payment since he got the job done. So, formally speaking, you could say asa shliach shlichuse, and he's entitled to his compensation. So, in the Sma's eyes, the letter delivery case is analogous to the shalach shliach lahavi tapuchim lechole. In both cases, avach shliach shlichuse, and in both cases, they're entitled to be compensated. Just hold on one second. Yeah.
No, we said the tool is not a present.
Okay, could we talk about it after?
Just tell me, is it?
A present to who?
To the Jewish people.
Tell them it is.
What?
Tell them it is. I don't know if anybody caught that. I saw Donnie smiling. What? I don't know. Donnie, did you hear that?
I didn't hear it, but I just heard, like, presents and stuff. I don't know. It seemed a little funny.
Ayala came upstairs to tell me that Noam said that the Torah wasn't a present. I said, "What do you mean?" She said, "Noam said it wasn't a present for the Jewish people." So she's a little upset with Noam for thinking that. So curious, we'll see what happens.
What does Noam think it was? He thinks it was like,
I don't know. You know, it's like,
it wasn't like super, like wasn't supererogatory.
I don't know. Kafa lam harki gigis. I don't know. We'll find out. You know, ol altavaram. I don't know.
I don't know. Noam has like hashgafik. He should write for anyway.
All right. Okay, that's the.
That. Ethan, my quick question.
Yeah.
Does the Smash think that he'd be eligible for full payment, as if he had worked the contracted number of hours, or is he just eligible for a prorated version of the payment that he was supposed to?
Yeah, receive? I think his main view is lama lo yishalim schiruso afilo mishalim. I think his main suggestion is that the shliach should get full compensation since he got the job done. And he says, "V'kol shekein mechatz yaderach shahalach." Right, at the very least, the prorated amount for what he did do. So I think he wants to say both.
So are we beginning to wade into Cole's question, which is this sounds more like Kablanos than Steger. If completing a job that follows the Kablanos model.
Right. It's interesting. Unless you think this would be like a case of a Poel who finishes his job early, in which case it's Pseda the Balabayas, if the Balabayas can't give him alternative malacha. So the Sma, Zolt has a hand. Zolt?
Yeah, maybe I missed something earlier on, I'm forgetting. But does it matter if it's a Kablan or Poel? Like, should the rules of Ones distinguish between the two?
No, I don't think the rules of Ones would matter so much whether it's a Kablan or a Poel in this case, except that clearly if he's a Kablan, then there's no room to talk about Ones even, because a Kablan is literally just paid for the result, right?
So, well, if you're prevented from doing the result for whatever reason, then there is Ones.
Right, but here he's not, I guess in the Ramaz reading of the Mordechai, he wasn't prevented from accomplishing the result. He just accomplished the result early, right? So that,
okay. So the job itself was cut short. I'm saying the job was to deliver it to.
If he's a Koblin, there's no question he gets paid full wages, I think.
Right. Meaning.
It would be like saying I'd like you to tailor. It's like Monday. Tailor my suit by Friday. I give it to you back Wednesday, and you're like, "Well, you know, I wanted it Friday." It's like, shut up.
Right.
You can't.
I think Cole's right. If it's Kablanos,
by the way, there is. By the way, there is a Mordechai, or there is a Rishon who says, I think it's about Yeshin. I think it comes up in Yeshin Ochlin. Every Tanai includes Itamar, did you assign this? There's somebody who says that every Tanai B'mamon includes or implies the weaker forms of it.
Right, I mean, so you're saying you're starting to say like, oh, included in getting it back to me Friday is getting it back to me early Wednesday, right?
Right, yeah, the Maharik, no, you did assign it. The idea is that like, if you're hired to do super hard, I know I didn't make it up, if you're hired to do like very hard labor for 8 hours a day, and you finish the hard labor in 4 hours a day, and the guy says, I'd now like you to like make paper airplanes or something like that. So the Maharik says, you gotta do it. Like,
right.
you agreed to do hard labor and everything less onerous.
Exactly. Yeah, we discussed that 100%. So Yoni, I think that what Cole's saying is basically, if it's Kablanos and there's no room to talk about an Ones that disrupted the Shlichus, because it's like so obvious that you got the job done. But I want
to. No, I mean, like, I think it's definitely the easier way to say it makes more sense. But you could have made an argument that the job was to deliver the letter to your friend in Philadelphia. And you didn't go away to Philadelphia if you didn't need to go to Philadelphia. The job was cut short. So,
yeah.
Not the job.
The job
was to go to Philadelphia.
Yeah, this kind of all reduces to Gabe's point exactly. Just like, what was the initial task? And, like, did you actually meet the expectations?
I'm saying, I don't think. I think that having a discussion about whether it's a Poel or a Kablan is less
right.
relevant to this discussion. I don't think it's a helpful
yeah.
framing.
It could be, depending on, I think, depending on exactly how we conceptualize the job that was given. But yeah, it's a good point. So the Sma takes issue with this psak. He thinks that insofar as the job was completed, so of course the poel should be paid. And I think the Sma has a friend in the Darkei Moshe's reading of the Hagos Mordechai. Remember the Hagos Mordechai citing the Sugyan and Zion about the Machtis, about the shekel that was brought to Yerushalayim, and the shliach bringing it was robbed. There, the Gemara seems to say that the shliach, the poel, is entitled to be paid. And the Darkei Moshe understood that Hagos Mordechai is disagreeing with this Mordechai. So at least in the Darkei Moshe's reading, there's a Rishon out there who does think that even if your job is disrupted, you're entitled to be paid. Okay, even though you didn't even get the job done. But we'll talk more about that in a second. So at least in the Sma's view, so long as asa tachlis mevukasha, kiven dal kapan masa tachlis shlichuso, da mevukash hayashe agia ksav liyadav aregia, lamalei shalim shchusa filo mishalim. Now the Sma also quotes the Ir Shushan, who wants to offer a different reading of the Mordechai. And he says, this is the Ir Shushan, so according to the Ir Shushan, he wants to reread the Mordechai as saying that you hired a shliach and he was unable to deliver the letter. So here it's like the opposite case of the Rama. The Rama wanted to say it's a case where you got the job done, but in a faster manner. In the Ir Shushan's view, the job was never done, but the shliach schlepped out and traveled to try to get it done. So there's, 100% effort, but no completion of the task. And the Ir Shushan wants to say that the poel doesn't get anything in that case. Ein l'shliach klum. So the Sma disagrees with that and says that doesn't make any sense because, you hire the guy to bring, let's say, tapuchim to the chole umitzao shehivri, you're chayiv to pay him for getting the job done. So he thinks that Ir Shushan's interpretation of the Mordechai would contradict the idea that if the shliach did all the traveling and just for whatever reason unable to produce the result, the beneficial result that the Baal HaBayis wanted, he should still get paid. And so he thinks that the Ir Shushan's reading of the Mordechai would contradict that principle. Okay. That's kind of the summary of the views, trying to nail down exactly what happens if you kind of did the job. You did all the traveling but didn't produce the result. You produced the result but didn't do the traveling. So it kind of depends on this mess here between the Ir Shushan, the Sma, and the Rama's interpretation of the Mordechai. What we left off with last time, and this brings us to our main discussion for today, is... does the locus of the onus determine the allocation of the loss? And we'll see two variations of this idea today. First, in our discussion now, in the Nesivis, in the Machane Ephraim, and in the Tumim, where they try to distinguish between the case where there's an onus to the poel, preventing him from completing the task, and a case where there's an onus to the Baal HaBayis. And then later on today, we'll see this also in the Angaria case, where there's this discussion of whose mazel was Gorem, which I think Cole is right to point out that it seems odd that the Rishonim view this in terms of mazel, but we'll have to figure out exactly what they mean by that. So first thing first, just to be a little clearer about the analysis that the Rishonim, what the problem that the Rishonim are trying to solve. So they're all bothered by the kind of stira, the question that the Hagos Mordechai raises against the Mordechai. The Mordechai said that you hire the worker, and I guess again on the standard view, to deliver a letter, and then there's a mechama that disrupts the agent from finishing the task, so he has to turn around midway. There, the Mordechai says that the poel is not entitled to be paid. And the Hagos Mordechai thought that contradicts the idea in the Gemara in Bava Metzia Nun Zayin, which says that if the townsmen sent their shkalim to Yerushalayim and the shliach was robbed as he was delivering it, the shliach is still entitled to be paid. So the Achronim here are all trying to weigh in to solve this problem. Now, one point about the Mordechai in his formulation did say, I'm just going to come back to the Mordechai for 1 second, if I could find it. The Mordechai did drop this phrase, which was intriguing, although it may be a red herring. He says that one of the reasons why the Poel doesn't get paid is because of Aval Hocha Lo Nenek Klum, because the Balabayas didn't benefit when the Shliach had to have turned around and wasn't able to deliver the letter. So I think there are two ways to understand this. One way is that the Mordechai is just forfending against this question from the Sugya of Asocher Chamor Umeis. And the other way of reading it is to think that whether or not the Balabayas receives Hana is somehow important for determining whether the Poel is entitled to compensation. But I'm going to bracket that discussion for now until we read that case of Socher Chamor Umeis. So what do the Achronim say to answer this question? So guys, what do the Achronim say? What's the main approach here to reconcile the question, to answer the question that Dagos Mordechai poses?
Is that it depends whose own accident?
Yeah, good. Yeah, really good, Ben. Who's driving again? Nice. It depends whose onus it is. So let's look at the first formulation, the Tumim, in Simin Samech Vav Sifkat and Samech Ches. He says, the reason why in the Mordechai's case, the Poel doesn't get paid, is Dehatagar Haya Al Shliach. Dehayu Orvin Lo Machmas Eza Alila Lo La'atzmo Aval Shliach Acher Haya Yachal Lelech. V'imkein, Zeshe Chazar V'hevi Yigeres Liad Mishalcho, the Mishaleach, as the Balabayas could say, Hayomer Ana Kai Lishaleach Igeres Ide Shliach Misha Yirza. Taha Igeres Muchan Lishaleach Biara Shliach, the Hashliach Eno Yachal Lelech, Kia Ikov Mitsido. So, what's the Tumim's argument here? How does he, first of all, notice that there's a major Ukimta in the case? What's the Tumim's Ukimta?
This is not even the. A major Ukimta is kind of an understatement.
Yeah, so tell us, Cole.
He saves the Mordechai. Ki ha'ikuv mitza. It's not an ikuv.
Well, explain. What's the Ukimta here first?
That the, that it was a, that he was, like, prevented.
But that the war was, like, something for him. Like, they wanted him.
Exactly. Meaning the way the ukimta that the tumim exactly the way what the ukimta that the tumim reads in here, and he inserts this for obvious reasons, is that it was specifically this shliach who was ambushed. You know, it's like your mail courier was an Al Qaeda terrorist or something, and you know the feds took him down as he was delivering your letter, right? So, Donnie, right? Donnie doesn't like, right?
Yeah, I think I'm with what Cole is saying. I remember when we did that on Tuesday. Like, this just, like, that's not what a milchama is, like, or at least how you'd think.
What's the translation of tagar?
Yeah, tagar is that's kind of the issue here between the Ramah's interpretation and the Sma's interpretation. But the Sma reads it as milchama. The Sma is, well, you know, there's some enemies that took him down. It was like a disruption. I don't think that there's a problem with the Tumim. I mean, so the Mordechai just says there was a disruption, right? There was some violent disruption that prevented him from completing the task. The Tumim reads that as like a targeted takedown attempt against him, which is a huge ukimta, but he needs that in order to justify his interpretation that the ikuv is really mitzad the shliach. The reason why the letter wasn't delivered was something was a specific set of facts pertaining to the shliach, not to the mishaleach, not to the balabayis, and that's why the shliach is not entitled to be paid. Okay, does everybody see that? So the major principle is that if the ones is mitzad hashliach, then the shliach is not entitled to be paid, at least dahare lo nene, when the balabayis didn't benefit at all from it. And the kind of the minor principle here is that it takes a lot for it to be considered an ikuv mitzad hashliach, right? You know, the tumim has to concoct this idea of a targeted takedown attempt against the shliach in order to justify this being an ikuv mitzad hashliach.
Can I propose a...
Just one second, and we'll see the other achronim agree with kind of the major principle that ikuv mitzad hashliach is going to determine the loss allocation. But I think you'll see that both the Machane Ephraim and the Nesivis disagree with the minor principle that it takes a lot for it to be considered ones to shliach. But Cole, yeah, you can make comment now.
My let's imagine a case in which we don't really have to imagine it, but let's imagine a case in which, you know, they mug the guy and he he says, do what you want with me, but I gotta deliver this letter to Montauk or whatever it is. And they say, no, all right, we'll take it. But we're gonna take you off to, you know, to your doom or whatever it is. So my intuition is that there, and the balabais is nana. But the worker, the question I'm asking is, you know, either the worker about that case is not, well, it's not like the worker gets to say to him, to the balabais, hey, letter got there. Either there's a patur, because it's, you know, because the guy was mugged, or he was negligent, and he didn't get the job done. But either way...
Well, I thought in your case, Cole, he gets the job done. I thought you were saying that
he does. He doesn't get the job done. He gets lucky. He gets mugged by generous bandits. The point is that, like, the... It's kind of the... If it's Kablanus, it makes sense that, like, you know, you wave your magic wands and, you know, or you run into lucky bandits, fine, either way, you get paid. The job gets done. But if you're but that's not the way Sechiras HaPolim works. So it's the more, everybody's tying themselves into knots to save the Mordechai. Let's just abandon him. I mean, there's just no basis for this principle. There's a Gemara against it. Whatever, we have to have chabura, but I just like want to. This is a bad Mordechai. If I'm the rugged shover, I'm taking this Mordechai.
Okay. It could be that you're right.
There's just too many intuitive counter examples.
Yeah,
and it doesn't accord with anything else we know about Sechiras HaPolim.
It could be you're right. I think.
Also, all bias.
Yeah, it could be right, but I want to focus though. It could be right about the Mordechai and its own merits, but for our interests right now, let's focus more on the ikuv mitzad hashliach versus ikuv mitzad hamishaleach loss allocation principle, because we'll see that's also important for discussions outside of the context of this Mordechai.
Yeah, everybody agrees with those.
Yeah.
Everybody agrees with those.
Good. So let's see the formulation in the Nesivis and the Machane Ephraim. And then I'll move on to Angaria. So the Nesivis in Siman Shin Lamed Hei Gimel offers a similar distinction. He says, again, Nira Dafka Bekan Onesu Unsa De Shliach, De Mikri Unsa De Poel, Az Ein Sarach L'Shaimu Afila Masha Asak Shlo Nene Balabayis. Aval Be'onsa Shir L'Balabayis Vada Et Sarach L'Shaimu L'Masha Asak, Demalo lepoel mashanenes balabayas. Okay? So he thinks that at least retrospectively, with respect to work that the poel did, it whether the poel is entitled to be paid, it depends whether it's ones de poel or ones de balabayas. If it's ones de balabayas, then the poel is entitled to be paid, afilu kishelo nene, even when there's no benefit for the balabayas. Okay, and then he has the further distinction about prospective payment for payment on stuff that was not done. Then it depends on different principles of loss allocation. But before we take Yoni's question, I just want to know why in the world with respect to what I call the minor principle in the Tumim, why in the world does the Nesivis think that the case on Nun Zayin with the Shekel payment case, why is that considered Ones de Balabayis versus Ones de Poel? So why is Nun Zayin a case of Ones de Balabayis? Right? Remember, he doesn't concoct the kind of fanciful Hayu Arvin Lo explanation of the Tumim. So does anybody remember?
It's an onus of the object, not the person.
Yeah, exactly right, Yakir, right? He says, Disham, unsa de balabayisu, shenevad hadavar, vahapoel omer anaha kaimna. I think it's a rather unpersuasive suggestion, right? He's saying it's considered the onus of the balabayis because the money was stolen from the shliach, and the money belongs to the balabayis, and therefore we could view this as unsa de balabayis. If there's something preventing the shliach from traveling, then it's onsa de poel. So I mean, this gets a little messy, right? So the idea is like, what if there's a roadblock? Right, that's like not letting the car move forward, then it's ones de poel or something. But if like the specific object that you're carrying is taking away, then suddenly it becomes ones de balabayis. Yakir, what do you think of that distinction?
But if somebody grabs you and leaves the money, as opposed to grabbing the money and leaving you.
Right, exactly. That's exactly the thin distinction that the
the Nesiva showed up for Chefetz Gavra Day.
Right.
And,
Yeah, that's exactly right. Or like, what if you like transferred title to the, you know, shliach for the journey, right?
It's like the Henny Youngman bit about, you know, the burglar goes up to the bandit goes up to the guy and says, your money or your life? And he says, I'm thinking it over.
All right. So I think the Tumim invented this idea of Hayu Arvin Lo, this kind of targeted takedown, to avoid this problem, right? He wants to make it clear that this is Ones de Shliach, and he probably would think that the Nesivis' way of cutting up Ones de Shliach versus Ones de Balabayis is not really sufficient. So anybody?
By the way, the Tumim has a real, I mean, that actually does, I mean, it's a crazy Kimten context, but it strikes me as actually a very serious substantive point, which is that if you know that there is like, you know, if you're involved with like the mafia or something like that, and you know that you're being the agent endangers the mission, and you don't let the balabayis know, that strikes me as a good reason to hold you liable, you know, whatever else happens to you. I mean, so the person, you know, the kind of the personal vendetta against you being the cause of the onus, that strikes me as like very solid, actually.
Yeah.
Like good on the Tumim. And by the way, I'm sure that came up, like, you know.
Sure.
The Cossacks went out, you know, they knew this guy was the landlord, so they beat him up or something.
Right.
Strikes me as a good plausible piece of law right there.
Machan Ephraim in Schira Simen Ches, I think, has a similar distinction to address this Mordechai issue. And he says, there's no raya from the Sugya Nun Zayin, the Hasam Yacholomra Anaha Kaimna. Because there, the shliach could say, I'm still prepared to carry the shkalim forward, so the ikuv doesn't stem from me. Lo chein hacha, which is not true in the case of the Mordechai, da ha'igaros biyado, ve'eno yachol lelech mipnei tagar, nimtza de'ein yachol lomra no ha'kaimna. Because the fact that the letters are untouched, meaning the parcels that the agent is supposed to deliver are not preventing him from completing his task, suggests that the onus really flows from the shliach. You might say that there's kind of a which is the exception and which is the rule disagreement here. For the Tumim, you get the sense that almost by default, the rule is that it's considered to be, you know, onus de mishaleach, unless there's some specific reason to pinpoint it on the shliach, like how you Arvin Lo. Right, they're waiting to take him down. In the Nesivis and the Machin Ephraim, you almost get the opposite sense that, like, by default, this is almost considered to be the ones de shliach, unless there's some specific reason to pin it on the mishaleach, right? Lo chein d'hacha ha'igros b'yado ve'eino yachal leilech mipnei ha'tagar. Right here, the letters are fully intact. They're waiting to be delivered. But the shliach is not able to complete his task because of the disruptions. Therefore, he can't turn around and say to the mishaleach, I'm ready to, you know, fulfill the job. We'll see next week that this analysis, both for the Machaneh Ephraim and for the Nesivos, actually, and for the Tumim, flows from the Sfina Zu and Yayin Zeh case. Right, this idea of which party is holding up the contract. But we'll see that in short order. So let's take hands, and then we'll move on to Angaria. So Yoni had his hand up for a while, and then we'll take Yair over here with the Brandenburg Gate in the background. Yair, can I just ask, why the Brandenburg Gate? Why Germany?
One of my plans for the summer is to try to learn German. So my doctor used to be the Eiffel Tower, and then at some point someone told me I shouldn't use the Eiffel Tower. I'm doing German.
They're good.
This is the most iconic image of Germany I can find that isn't Holocaust themed. So.
Wow.
I remember Berlin Wall falling. No?
Maybe. Yeah. You're right.
I hear. Nice.
I just wanted to know, we just passed by a massive Confederate flag on the highway, and I was going to flip the camera around, but I didn't get it on time.
Yeah. Next time, Ben. Next time.
We'll get literally bigger than my house.
We'll get the Confederacy in. We're also going to talk about the Third Amendment today. Very exciting. It's not often that you get to talk about the Third Amendment. Yeah, the Third Amendment.
Is that
whoa?
Yeah.
I don't know what goes past second.
Yep, comes up in the Nesivos.
Actually, the Bill of Rights I have in my pie crossed everything except the second out. It's the only amendment to the Constitution I recognize.
Yeah, that's what you have to do in order to start a TIGBA program. You have to cross out all the other amendments that aren't the Second Amendment.
I'm sorry I said it.
Cole rightly pointed out a while ago that his love for America predates the Strauss Center and TIGBA.
Everyone who has a house in Montauk crosses out everything other than the Second Amendment.
All right, Zolti, floor is yours.
But not freedom of speech.
Someone say
sheer. Well, Yair, in Germany, I don't think they have freedom of speech. I think they actually have, like, stricter...
Not for Nazis.
All right, Zolti, let's hear your... The floor is yours, Zolt.
Oh, I kind of had a side point. I mean, I agree, I think, a little bit. The Nesivos and the Tumim and the Machaneh Ephraim distinction's a little funny. Like, just in the details.
Yeah.
But I just, like, a side point in the Nesivos model... I guess really for all these acronym, if you do accomplish the task, or sorry, if the onus is in the task itself, and it's attributed to the Baal Bayit and not to you as the Poel, so what's the model of compensation? If it's is it based on nene, or is it based on like having accomplished part of the task?
I mean, if the onus is in the Baal Bayit.
Yeah, because the Rishon are talking about nene a lot. Is he nene, is he not nene? So I'm kind of curious, like, are we redefining this entire contract based on nene, and that's a significant factor, and therefore it's also going to determine compensation? Or are we still being paid based on, like, having accomplished part of the work, and then it's just a way of figuring out whether or not there's been, like, some...
I think, right, it's a good question. I'm not sure. I think we'll have to see the Socher Chamor Meisugyo. In the Nesivos' view, it seems to be that if the Ones is Mitzad Baal Abayis, then even if the Baal Abayis is not Nene, he has to pay. Right, meaning once it's the Ones, the Baal Abayis, he's got to pay, regardless of whether he's Nene. And it's only within Ones de Poel in the case of Ones de Poel.
In the case of Ones de Poel, right? So the Sibyl says you don't get paid if you were not Nene. The Baal Bayit was not Nene. But what if the Baal Bayit was Nene? Under what model of compensation is the Poel paying for like right. part of that work or part of that or not? Is it like based on like your rate secure?
Yeah, it's a really good question.
And the reason it matters, I think, is because it's not just a question of like how you determine the sum. I think it makes a big difference how you view this contract.
Yeah.
If you're talking about compensation as netted, then you're not really viewing it as paying for the contract or paying part of the work in the contract. You're viewing it in a totally different outside form of payment, outside form of, you know, benefit.
Yeah. Did you read, so we'll let's try to pick that up when we talk about the Socher Chamor Mace question. But Yoni's pointing out a really, really interesting observation that when we say that it's ones de poel, and therefore he only gets paid if the Baal Bais was nene somewhat, is that a separate mechayiv of hana, right? Or is this like being paid for half the contract in virtue of the fact that the Baal Bais got something out of it, right, Yoni?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I just want to point out in that chapter that I sent out with the from that contracts textbook, they actually have an interesting discussion about this in the case with the boat that was carrying stuff for the Department of Agriculture and was supposed to go through the Suez, but it was like in 56 when the war broke out, and so the ship had to sail around the Horn of Africa, and it was a much more expensive expedition because they had extra gas costs and things, and they wanted to charge the Department of Agriculture extra. And the question is, who has to bear that extra cost? And you know, the court kind of sided with the United States here, and they said, what are you trying to collect? Are you trying to collect under the contract? Are you trying to collect under some theory of quantum merit? Right? That's the hakira that you're raising, Yoni, right?
Yeah, exactly. I think in all these cases of onus, I think that's like the big question.
Yeah.
Is it quantum merit paying or is it contract?
Yeah.
Some form of the contract.
Yeah, good. So take a look at that discussion in that chapter. That's a very short discussion. And we'll see more about this when we talk about Socher Chamor Meis B'Chatzi HaDerech. Yair, let's get your point in, and then let's get Yair's point, and then or maybe Cole also, and then we'll move on to Angaria.
I think I just want to step in to defend the Nesivos, and specifically his claim about the collect between your ability to do the job and, you know, the money being taken from you. Imagine for a moment that, you know, someone hires me to deliver a letter, and then the government issues a law that says no one's allowed to deliver letters anymore, and all letters will be, you know, confiscated by police. That sounds to me like an onus on the Baal Bais. The work is no longer able to be done. Nothing to do with me, as the shliach. Certainly, if the shliach was negligent in some way, I would understand why the shliach would be liable. But in the event that, you know, you're trying to traffic in illegal goods, for example, I think it would be more about the nature of the work than about the poet's ability to perform.
So yeah, you want to say in that case that would be ones de Baal Bais?
Yeah, I want to defend the nesivos in that.
So I just want to point out, Yair, that I'm not sure that the nesivos would agree, because it might be that the nesivos thinks that it's only when you say anaha ka'imna, right? It's only when like the shliach could say, look, I'm still available to deliver the letter, and you, Mr. Baal Bais, something about you is preventing me from delivering it. So I wonder in your case, Yair, if the shliach could really say anah ha'ka'imna when the government's preventing shluchim from delivering letters.
Right, so those kind of cases, it might be subtle and depend on the nature of the law. Is it that, you know, letters can't be delivered or the shliach can't deliver letters? And you start quarreling about those details. And that may be what you were trying to get at before, that really that difference is too subtle to say something very meaningful.
Right. That's the issue. But you're.
Imagine, you know, a poll is not going to go to jail for it. He won't be penalized at all. But any contraband goods will be confiscated.
Exactly.
That sounds a little bit more like what the museum was getting at.
Right. If the government said we're, you know, seizing all jewels that are sent in the mail or something, I think the Nesivos would say that's onus de Baal Bais, something like that.
Right.
Yeah. Good. Cole, did you want to get a point in, or should we move on to Angaria? Cole, move on.
Go ahead. Yeah.